We're continuing in a series called Growth 101. And last Sunday, the question was, who is Jesus? And this morning, it's why Jesus of Nazareth? And so we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. In your pew Bible, that's going to be page 1190. The red pew Bible is 1190. And the version, we both have NIV versions here, but it's slightly different. The last line is a little shorter in mine. All right? But read along, here we go. Let's listen to God's word to us and what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I'm going to start out. Notice in the beginning it says, He made known to us. And the He refers to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice you go back to verse 3. It says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's who the He is referring to. So I'm just going to go ahead and start in saying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So let's listen to these words. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ made known to us the mysteries of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Praise be to God. All right. So, a bowl of red delicious apples were put at the front of the cafeteria line at Asbury College. And attached to the bowl of red delicious apples was a note that read, Take only one, please, God is watching. All right? Yeah, it's true. And a prankster had attached a note to the peanut butter cookies tray at the other end of the line that said, Take all you want, God is watching the apples. Huh? And it's silly to think that while God is busy watching the apples, and unbeknownst to Him, that people could take and grab as many peanut butter cookies as they want. And this is because the very definition of being God is that God knows all and sees all. Right? Okay? So this is what makes it silly. And so this morning I want to ask two questions of God, who knows all and sees all. So the first question is, God, why did you become fully human? God, why did you become a human being? And the second question is, God, why Jesus of Nazareth? Why was the Savior this human being we know of as Jesus of Nazareth? Okay? Now, in this morning's passage, first question is, so God, why did you become a human being? And in this morning's passage, the last, there are two verses, 9 and 10, and the last part of verse 10 says, and this is the purpose, to bring unity. You see that? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. All right? Say that again. So God's purpose in becoming fully human is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Now, we're on earth, so God's purpose then in becoming fully human for us would be, who are on earth, is to bring unity to all of us who are on earth. And notice it says all things into unity. So it's a sense of the sort of cosmic unity. We have the climate warming and the global warming and things like this, and God is bringing unity to all things in heaven and on earth. And so this is the purpose for why God became fully human. So the second question then is, so why did God choose a Savior who is a person called Jesus of Nazareth? Okay? And some of you may hear the echoes of the Apostle Nathanael, who declared in John chapter 1, verse 46, saying, Nazareth? What good can come from Nazareth? You remember? All right. What possible good could come from Nazareth? And I wonder if for us, we might be asking, Creswell, what good could come from Creswell? Or from the churches of Creswell, what good could come from the churches of Creswell? Or let's stop beating around the bush, all right? What Creswell Presbyterian Church, what good could come from Creswell Presbyterian Church? And then for you and I, what good could come from us? What good could come from you? The people, the Jewish people, had been in the Promised Land for 1,200 years. This is the land of the Palestinian area where Israel, modern-day Israel, is now. And they were there for 1,200 years, and they had 12 tribes. And they were expecting a Messiah. And that God had been preparing a way for the coming of a Messiah through them. In fact, that's what the Promised Land is all about, is that God is creating a land, a space on earth for the bringing of his light, to be a light to all the nations, or as he said to Abraham, to be a blessing to all the nations. And so they are waiting and watching and seeing, when will this manifest? When will this come about? When is this going to be real? When is it going to show up? And their scriptures, the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, foretells of the coming of a Messiah. In fact, there are 54 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. And they knew this. In fact, you could ask them, so what's number 54? They would tell you. What's number 22? They would tell you. They knew this stuff. Like we know who's in the Super Bowl today. They knew this. All right? So they're expecting this. And along the way, every now and then shows up someone who, oh, here's someone. Seems to be a little odd, a little different. Does a few healings. Isn't quite like my family, my friends, people I hang out with. Might he be the Messiah? And David Stern, a Messianic Jew and a New Testament scholar, he says that though there have been many who'd come and gone, only three of the 54, the best that anyone could do was three of the 54 of the prophecies being fulfilled. Of all the people that came along, the best one was three out of 54. I don't know about you, but does that pass your math test? No. Does that get you through college? No. So what about Jesus of Nazareth? Why would it be any different? Let's listen to this morning's passage again. Take a look, go through it. So, verse 9. And again, remember, it's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When it says he, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ made known to us. It's a done deal. He already did it. This is after Jesus of Nazareth had come and gone that this is written. So the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ made known to us, has already made known to us, that is revealed to us, his will, the mystery of his will. And the Greek word for this, the mystery, is mysterion. Sounds like mystery, but it's not quite, okay? So mysterion is not like, you wouldn't say the mysterion of Agatha Christie, all right? Not quite the same. Mysterion means that what once was concealed is now revealed. In other words, it's something that was there all along, but the veil had just not been removed yet, and people have not yet been able to see it, know it. And so it's saying that the mystery of God's will, the mysterion of what once was concealed, is now revealed. And God has shown it to us. So the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has made known to us the mysterion, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. This is not something that anybody forced upon God. It's not something that God did unwillingly or unlovingly. It isn't one of those things where, you know, your child only will go along if you reward your child for doing the nasty chore of doing the dishes by, you know, taking them bowling once they've done it three nights in a row, all right? Didn't need that. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And Christ is, now again, this is written after Jesus of Nazareth had come and gone. So Christ is who? Jesus of Nazareth. So he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect. So it's not yet complete. It's still coming about to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Now, the times, there are two words in the New Testament for time. One is chronos and one is kairos. And the chronos word is that kind of time, it's clock. And the kairos time is the Lord's time. It's what God jumps into the middle of human history to do. And at God's good pleasure and God's own time. And so this is something that God is intent on bringing about. And through none other than Jesus of Nazareth. So to be put into effect when the times, the kairos, reach the fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus of Nazareth. So the question may be, not so much, why Jesus of Nazareth? Although that's a faithful question to ask. But the question of, can God work salvation for the world through Jesus of Nazareth? Can God make known to us the mystery of his will through Jesus of Nazareth? Can God put into effect what he will through Jesus of Nazareth? Can he put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment through Jesus of Nazareth? Can he do it? And I suppose the question is for us. If we ask this question, can God bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth? If he can do it through Jesus of Nazareth, can he do it through us? Can God bring unity to all things in Crestwell through us, through you? Let this be your question as you walk through the day, through the week. And resist the temptation to say no or to say yes, but to keep on asking it. Even as you receive communion this morning, the bread and the cup, let your receiving of it be this question in faith that knows what God can do through Jesus of Nazareth. And ask him, God, can you use me? Can you use your church to bring unity to all things in Crestwell? Can you use us as a community of unity, even for those who aren't here, when you receive the elements? Keep on asking. God, can you use me? Can you use us? Can we be your community of unity? And receive.